Hey everybody, this is Mark, and this is another commentary and analysis, this time of 10 things Americans don't know about America. In these commentaries, I talk about the ideas, inspiration, and research that goes into each of the articles, so if you dig the articles, then you should check out all of the audios. So the America article, the infamous America article. I wrote this in 2012. I'm recording this in 2016, and it's kind of funny to look back at this article now for a number of reasons. But first, let me go into how it came about. So if you've read the site, you know that I started living abroad in 2009. I pretty much lived abroad on and off for most of the next 6.5 years or so. And when I wrote this in 2012, I'd been living abroad for about 3 years. And there's something funny that happens when you're an expat, when you live abroad. You kind of go through these, like, phases. So the first phase is kind of like the honeymoon phase. Wherever you're living, it's a new place. Everything's exciting. Everything's really intriguing. Everything's new. Everything's interesting. You notice all the differences everywhere. And then I would say a second phase is once you start to kind of adapt to foreign cultures, you start recognizing what they do better than your culture. So, you know, in Latin America, I noticed like, wow, people here are very emotionally genuine and openly expressive. And I really, really like that. And you kind of find yourself thinking like, God, I wish people back home were like that. I wish I grew up having this. You know, why did it take so long for me to get to experience this? And then you kind of go into a third phase, which is you get a little bit angry at your own country. You start seeing all like the warts and things wrong with your own culture, because you have distance from it now. You're not embedded into it. You don't have to like spend time day to day. You're able to kind of zoom out and get proper perspective on it. Now, look, I know a lot of people are very critical of American culture in the U.S., and actually I was pretty critical of a lot of parts of U.S. culture while I lived in the U.S., but it's different when you get outside of it. Once you've been outside of it for a few years, you just see it with a lot more clarity, and that's where the analogy of the family came from, is like, you kind of know your family's fucked up, but it's not until you move out and you're on your own for about 2 years that you're able to look back and be like, oh, wow, yeah, this is what was wrong. So this article was written in that phase for me. It turns out that as I lived abroad longer, there were more phases. I would say the next phase is you start noticing what's screwed up about other cultures, and you kind of reach this place where you're able to, not objectively, but like on a pretty even level, like honestly examine what the good parts and the bad parts of each culture is, and, kind of just compare them fairly, you know? So I eventually came to a point, which is where I think I am today, where I recognize the good things about U.S. culture, and as well as the bad things, just as I recognize the good things as well as the bad things about, you know, Latino culture or Asian culture or Japanese culture or English culture, whatever. And then you kind of just pick and choose, you know, you just kind of decide like, all right, wherever I live, like, these are the problems I have to deal with, and that's okay. But anyway, so this was 2012, and I was kind of like in my peak, fuck the U.S., such a damaged and deranged culture. I was in like my peak phase of that. And actually what happened was I wrote another article on my site, A Dust Over India. I wrote that in 2011, and A Dust Over India kind of had a very delayed response. It actually went viral about 6 months later, in the summer of, so I wrote it December 2011, and it went viral summer of 2012. I think it got shared on Hacker News. And, so suddenly had like thousands of people kind of flooding into my site for the first time. This is back in these days, like I never had more than maybe 1,000 visitors a day, maybe 1,500 at most. And suddenly with the India article, I was getting like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people a day, which was a huge amount for me at the time. And inevitably, a lot of them were Indians, and a lot of them were very pissed off about the article and saying that I was very negative and unfair. And a lot of them kind of threw some stereotypes at me, saying like, oh, you're just an arrogant American. And, you know, if you think your country's so great, you know, why don't you just stay there? Or, and then a few people emailed and said, you know, why don't you write an article bashing your own country for a change? And I thought to myself, well, you know what? Why don't I write an article bashing my own country? Let's go with that. Because I have a lot of things I want to talk about. And this article popped out literally in an afternoon. I knew it would do well. Like I was pretty optimistic, just because politically things have not been good in the U.S. for 10, 15 years now. It's very polarized and pretty much everybody's frustrated. So I figured, you know, if I could put together a coherent, interesting and funny article, kind of bashing a lot of these things and release it on the 4th of July, it'll probably get some attention. And I was kind of hoping like to capitalize on the surge of traffic from the India article as well. Well, it did all of that and more. It got a huge response. It was my first real, like, big popular article that I ever did. I think when it was initially posted, it got about 180,000 shares on Facebook, which at the time for me was like mind-bogglingly huge. I think it was the first article I had that over 1 million people read it. It was reposted in a bunch of places, and it's just a very jarring experience. First because of all the attention it got me, and back at the time, my site was much less professional. It was also a men's focused site, so the branding was very different. And yeah, the article is just, it's very contentious. And so it got a lot of hate. Back then I had comments enabled on the site. I think it picked up 2,000 or 3,000 comments. And also back then I made a habit of reading every single email and comment I got, which, you know, 4 years ago that was pretty manageable because my traffic was, you know, 3% of what it is today. But, with this article, I think I kind of probably came to regret that, just because thousands and thousands of messages came in, my mindset back then was like, oh God, all these people are taking the time to write me. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get this much traffic again. I need to read and respond to everything. So I literally spent 2 to 3 days reading and responding to everything. And it was exhausting. It was emotionally exhausting, physically exhausting. It sucked, basically. And I ended up on the old blog, I ended up writing up a follow-up post, kind of explaining, going into more detail about my positions, admitting a couple things I got wrong, and so on. Looking back, I'll just say, before I'm going to machine gun through some of the common criticisms of this article and kind of what I think of them. But I will say this is definitely an article that, looking at it 4 years later, I still think it's cool. It's fun. There's definitely a lot of validity to a lot of these criticisms, but it's definitely an article I look back 4 years later and I'm like, yeah, I was bitter. Like, I can see my bitterness coming through. I probably wouldn't write it the same way today. I have some ideas for another article about American culture. And I would say that, at least, you know, in my own opinion, I feel like I have a much more nuanced, perception about American culture today. I think I'm a little bit more supportive of it, or at least I think I've come back around to like being able to see a lot of the really good things about it. Although we're still pretty fucked up. and neurotic. But anyway, so a couple of the most common criticisms. First of all, like 8 million people have emailed me and saying, well, you realize that America is all the Western Hemisphere. What you're referring to is the United States. Yeah, I know. I get it. But you also have to understand that within the Anglophone world, generally everybody in England, Ireland, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, it's referred to as America. Just this shorthand. You can complain that that is not technically correct. You can complain that that is disrespectful to Mexicans and Guatemalans and Canadians. Whatever. Like, just that is how we are, that's how we refer to ourselves. If you listen to any U.S. president speak, if you listen, watch any sports broadcast, if you look at any sort of like political rally, for either political party, we refer to ourselves as America all the time. It's what the rest of the English speaking world refers us to us as. So yeah, apologies to my Latin readers, but get over it. Seriously. A lot of people nitpicked at that, and it just got very tiresome. It was funny. So I made the comment in the article that, Aussies and English people, have like a love-hate relationship together. And I got a lot of emails from people saying like, from Australian and English people saying like, what are you talking about? We hate Americans. You guys are all like so full of yourself and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's nice. Like it's one of those things where, okay, you've got some random person on the internet. You know, first of all, I write a big stereotype about entire populations of people on an article, very much in kind of a joking way. And then you have other people emailing me disagreeing with my gigantic broadstroke stereotype with their own broadstroke stereotype. This is all I'll say. I've spent about a month in Australia, and I've spent probably 3 or 4 months in England, or the UK. And I'm sorry, but like, it's English speaking people like each other. Like, it's when I go to the UK and I meet a bunch of new people there, like, people are genuinely always very positive and excited at the fact that I'm American. They like talking to me. We joking about our different dialects. You know, they like hearing silly things that Americans say. The same was in Australia. And the same is when Australians and English people come to the US. Is like, we love your accents. We love your dialects. We love the goofy little things you say and the quirks, in your culture. And from what I've seen in all my traveling, that goes both directions. And that's actually one thing that surprised me when I started traveling, because I started traveling when George Bush was president, and I pretty much expected everywhere I go, for people to hate me. But no, it turns out that there's affection that goes both directions. Another little tidbit, that this is kind of tangential, but what was very interesting to me is when I learned to speak Spanish and later Portuguese as well, is I noticed that this was not true among Latin Romance language speaking people and cultures. So for instance, if you go to Spain and you speak with like a Peruvian accent or a Mexican accent, or you tell them that you're from Colombia, they're very antagonistic towards you, and vice versa. Like, it's, people in Argentina think, like, hate the way that Mexicans speak, and Mexicans hate the way that Dominican Republic people speak, and, so on and so on. I found that very, very interesting. Because in the English speaking world, it's the complete opposite. You know, it's like, if an English or Irish person comes to the US, like, we all just like fawn over them. Like, oh my God, your accent is so cool. And as an American, it's like, going to England or Australia or New Zealand, it's like, they get excited, just as excited. They're like, oh, you're from America. Like, they start joking about like cowboy movies and like all the funny things that we say. And it's really, it's interesting. A number of readers pointed out that a lot of my travel experiences are skewed because I am a young male. That is absolutely correct. I do that. To me, that was like the one big legitimate criticism of a lot of my views in this article. It is true that a lot of the things I say are less applicable to if you're a woman, depending on what part of the world you're in, and especially if you're traveling by yourself as a woman. And, you know, the other kind of silly response I got was just, well, there were kind of two silly responses. One was people getting mad that I was generalizing Americans. I always find this funny when I get critics who are like this. They're like, you're just generalizing, stereotyping everybody. You can't do that. Which, okay, that's a valid point. But then they follow it with, because I know real Americans, and real Americans are hardworking, humble people who are great, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, now you're stereotyping and generalizing people. So there's a lot of that that goes on, but, you know, it's the internet, so I guess that's to be expected. And then the other one was I got a lot of kind of angry right-wing people, super conservative people, who just called me like a self-hating liberal and, you know, entitled millennial and all this stuff. And, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, in the current U.S. political climate, I definitely skew to the left. I don't really like identifying myself as a liberal because there's so many stupid fucking liberals out there, but I definitely, by U.S. standards, I'm definitely on the left side of the political spectrum. But honestly, like, yes, there's a lot of bitterness and kind of cynical criticism in this article, but there's a lot of facts too, and I guess that's where a lot of my anger came from, is like traveling and discovering these other things, not just cultural aspects, but also like history, like seeing history from the perspective of other countries and just realizing like how thick the bullshit propaganda is in US culture, how insulated we are, and how much we really don't understand about both the rest of the world, but also ourselves. And, you know, it probably ultimately, like looking back, this is one of those articles that the people who loved it, like it probably didn't convince anybody of anything they didn't already believe. You know, the people who loved it probably already agreed with everything I wrote. And the people who hated it already disagreed. And so it wasn't going to change anybody's minds. You know, looking back, this was probably much more written for myself. And it's also, you know, I've always made a point blogging to kind of stay out of politics. And even when I write about politically contentious subjects, I always try to make a point to, try to remove myself from any particular side. Like, I try to make a point to like write what I have to say in such a way that like conservatives will think I'm conservative and liberals will think I'm liberal. And I think this article ultimately was a very big influence on that decision. You know, I think I realized at the time that I could very easily jump into, you know, turn myself into like a hardcore left wing, you know, just like ragging on all like the injustices and horrible things that are happening in the US. Like it's very easy to kind of turn yourself into that sort of blogger. But I don't, this showed me that I don't want to do that. And honestly, I don't see a ton of value in doing that. I mean, yeah, we do need political bloggers that point out things that are wrong in our culture, but at least in the way that I did it here with this sort of tone and just like really kind of mean criticism. Honestly, I think there's too much of that on the internet these days, rather than not enough. So I've made a point to kind of stop writing like that. And, I doubt you'll ever see an article as politically charged as this one ever again, or I doubt you'll ever see an article with this strong of like a political stance from me ever again. And that is definitely by design.